Okay, we're halfway through January, and some of us are doing great with our New Year's resolutions, aren't we? Well, at least so far. Meanwhile, some of us have yet to implement even the first step of our plans. It's not that we've given up entirely yet, but we're waiting for just the right time. Others have got off to a really good start, but have stumbled a time or two and are thinking about, well, quitting. Or at least kicking the can down the road one more year. And of course, there are those who are about ready to just dismiss the idea of ever making another resolution. Well, whatever the case might be for you, may I offer a few words of encouragement today. If you're experiencing success, here you go, if you're in that category, you're experiencing some success, you're doing well, keep up the good work. Press on toward your goal. That is, as we considered last week, if you've committed your plans to the Lord, you're consulting Him along the way with a determination to carry through with those plans that you honestly believe, you sincerely believe will be pleasing to Him, then carry on. Do that. Keep doing that. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize." Now, we're not competing with other people. And Paul is talking about achieving spiritual goals, particularly. But he's using this physical example, a very practical one that I believe we can all relate to in some measure, even if we're not runners per se. To be honest, again, when I have been working out, I do more of a power walk kind of thing. I'm not running on the treadmill either. I'm walking quickly. I'm that kind of guy. Well, who am I kidding? Here late, a leisurely stroll is more up my alley. But the idea here is easy enough to grasp, I believe, for all of us. If we want to succeed, to achieve the goal we set, we got to move. And we got to keep moving. Proverbs 18, verse 9 says, "One who is lax in his work is brother to one who destroys." What's he saying? If we're not helping the cause, we're a detriment to the progress. Sometimes, when it comes to achieving success, can't we be our own worst enemies? Sometimes we can. But if we're doing well, keep it up. Keep it up. Now, if you're one of those who's been waiting, though, for just the right moment, you haven't started yet, well, let me suggest to you the right moment is here. Because the truth is, we can always find reasons to procrastinate. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, Solomon said this, "He who watches the wind, waiting for all conditions to be perfect, will not sow seed. And he who is always looking at the clouds will never reap a harvest." The idea is if we're always waiting for ideal circumstances, we'll be waiting a long, long time. In fact, the perfect time may never come at all. And therefore, we'll not ever start what we promised we would. There can be some legitimate reasons to put something off until better weather, perhaps. But is it really the climate that's the problem? Is it always the external circumstances that's the problem? Or is it something within us? And come on, if we've been using the holiday season as an excuse not to start that new diet, or some new, if you will, habit, guess what? We're well past that. So what's our excuse now? I'm sure we can come up with something if we want to. Proverbs 26 verse 13 tells us that lazy people claim there's a lion in the road. I'm sure there's a lion out there on the road. Okay, now listen, if there's really a lion on the road, I'm running the other direction. How about you? But the idea here is not that there really is a lion, but there's the fear that there might be. If we're not moving ahead because of what we think might be ahead, what the future might hold, or problems we could encounter, what, well, even that we're going to fail, just that fear, the fear of failure, will not take a step. Once more, if we have committed our plans to the Lord, though, consulting Him along the way, we need to carry through with those plans. You've heard it said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I believe that's true. Of course it is. And I suggest it's time to take that step, that first step, if you haven't already. Now, what if you have? You know, again, you got off to a good start, but you've already fallen off the wagon. If that's the case, get back on. That is, again, as long as the wagon is headed in the right direction. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, the godly may trip 7 times, but they'll get up again. They'll get up again. After falling 7 times, maybe they'd be injured or certainly discouraged, but he says they'll get up again. Well, how can they possibly do that? Well, Psalm 37, 23 and 24 tells us this. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he won't fall down for long. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Some versions say he won't fall headlong, meaning he won't injure himself severely. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. It's the Lord, see, who will get us back up on our feet and moving in the direction he has for us. Now, we shouldn't expect him, though, to help us back up if we're planning to turn back. Just turn back. But if we're going to move forward with the plans he has for us, he will help us back on our feet and get us moving again. As Jesus told us in Luke 9, verse 23, the one who looks back after setting his hand to the plow isn't suited for service in the kingdom. He's talking about primarily the idea of following him, counting the cost before taking up the cross and following him. That we need to do that. We need to seriously think about what's going to cost us, but we need to be willing to pay it in following him. And that's so often true about other goals we set. Do we really want to achieve them? Are they worthwhile? Is it something we really have our hearts set on? Then we need to follow through without looking back. It'd also be wise to take some inventory of what bumps along the road may have contributed to us falling off the wagon in the first place. Maybe we need to think about having a traveling companion, an accountability partner, if you will, to encourage us to keep focused. Maybe we need a support group. There's no shame in needing some help. But if we let our pride keep us from admitting that we need that help and asking for it, then our road will likely be full of disappointment and regret. And every bump in the road can seem like a mountain too tall to climb. My experience, personally, is that hanging around the bar with little drinking buddies won't help you to stop drinking. And so often we think about falling off the wagon that's associated with the idea of drinking alcohol many times. But yeah, hanging around with the old drinking buddies won't help you to stop if that's your goal. Even if you just order a Coke when you're with them. One won't hurt you wasn't encouraging me to keep my resolution to give up alcohol. And I heard that. Come on, Steve, one won't hurt you. Come on. What's the matter? Come on, just one. Just have one drink with us. Come on, buddy. That wasn't encouraging me to keep my resolution. Neither was spiking my drink, and that did happen on one occasion. I got up to leave, and when I came just to go to the facilities, and when I returned, took one sip of the Coke and found it had been, it was now rum and Coke. It had been replaced by one of my buddies, one of my friends. I let them know I didn't appreciate that at all. And eventually, I found that if I was going to keep on with my goal and achieve my goal, I needed to be careful about the sphere of influence that I was choosing. Not that I was better than them, not at all. not that I was holier than thou, kind of a thing, no, but if I wanted to achieve my goal, I needed to be with people who would encourage me with that goal. Now, whatever the case with us, you know, whether we're experiencing some success or we're waiting for the right moment, or whether, well, we've fallen off the wagon, we need to, again, continue on the goal and the right path to get up and start again, and then don't quit. Keep on keeping on. The only thing worse than trying and failing is failing to try. You've perhaps heard that. In Galatians 6, verse 9, we're urged, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time. Now, there's so many of these examples that we find in Scripture. They're agricultural in nature because that was the culture of the region and the era. We can identify with them, I believe, though. The idea is we can all get discouraged at times. We can all get weary, tired, and feel like giving up. Yet if we've committed our plans to the Lord, here we go again, consulting Him along the way, we can know that His plans will call us to do good, as Paul says in Galatians 6, and to keep on doing good, to keep it up. In the process, it'll be for God's glory and the good of others. And ultimately, it will also be for our good as well. But having said this, once again, doing good doesn't always feel good at the time. Though we want to see immediate benefits and experience great reward and have that all come to us with just minimal effort, there's almost always pain before there's gain, struggle before transformation, and at least one major test before we can truly rest. Quitting's not an option if we hope to succeed with our plans. And it's certainly not an option for Christ followers if we want to achieve the goals that He has for us. Jesus once told a parable to illustrate this point when it comes to following Him. He said in Luke 14, verse 28 and following, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first set down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Now the idea here was that someone was very open about what they were planning to do, probably made a big show of it. So everybody's eyes were on them, watching their progress. And when they didn't complete it, well, it became not just an eyesore. It became a testimony of their lack of following through with the commitment they had made. It makes me think of the underground train system that was planned, but only half of it was finished in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was during the 1920s that they began the project, but then came the Great Depression and, well, it halted everything. It's not been finished even yet today. But if you visit Cincinnati, Ohio, you can actually visit the unused tunnels to witness what has been described as one of the city's biggest embarrassments. These days, they would call it an epic fail. An epic fail. Now, we laugh at other people's epic fails. Sometimes we even ridicule them. Well, we don't want to have an epic fail in this new year, personally, and be open to ridicule ourselves, do we? No matter what plans or goals we may have for 2021 and beyond, if we're Christ followers, we want to get on board and stay on board with His plans for us. Why? Jesus said in John 15, in verse 5, apart from me, you can do no good thing. No good thing. You won't accomplish anything of real value. You won't accomplish anything that will be lasting. Certainly, it will not be of eternal worth. Yet the Apostle Paul declared in Philippians 4:13, And many of you know this verse. Many of you I know have told me this is your favorite verse. You've got it memorized. You can quote it. You know exactly where it's at. And that's wonderful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he wrote that from prison. He wrote that not knowing what the future was going to hold as far as in this world. But he knew that his eternal home in heaven was secure. He knew that. He knew that because he put his faith and trust in Jesus. So when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he wasn't saying I can, break out of this prison with my own strength. No, he was saying, I can endure this. I can endure this in the way that Christ calls me to. I can be like Christ even in this circumstance. He might even recall that Jesus himself had been arrested, beaten, accused, but Jesus was crucified. Others before Paul had the same type of fate. James, the first Christian martyr, arrested and killed by the sword. Didn't ever get out of prison. So Paul wasn't real sure that he'd get out of prison. So what he's saying here is I can do this. I can handle this. I can be who I need to be with the strength that Christ gives me. I think that's important for us to recognize and realize today. Many of us might be thinking, I don't know how much of this I can take. I don't know how much more of this I can handle. It's just too much. Or you're thinking, with everything going on around you, you certainly can't be the person that you ought to be with the attitudes you ought to have. But hear me. This text is saying, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, the Spirit of Christ within you, you can do everything he calls you to do. Everything he calls you to do. And that's the context. Whatever he calls you to do, he'll enable you to do. He'll strengthen you to do. He'll equip you to do. Everything. So once again, if you have committed your plans to the Lord, if you've consulted him about them, and there are plans again that line up with his desires and purposes for your life, guess what? He'll strengthen you to complete those plans, to fulfill those plans. He'll give us victory in whatever endeavor we undertake that aligns with his plan and purpose for us. Isn't that good news? Well, what is the primary plan that he has? What is the plan, the master plan that God has for us? If you've listened to even a few of my lessons in the past, you likely know the answer, for I share it often. Romans 8, 28-29, the Holy Spirit reminds us, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice that. Called according to his purpose. We've been called according to his purpose, his plan for us. And then verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. See, the bottom line is that God's primary plan and purpose is to make us like Jesus. Everyone who follows Jesus, every Christ follower, his plan and purpose for us is to become more and more like Jesus. With every day that we follow him, we're to be more like him. And the good news is that he's going to finish that project. Paul would tell us that he was confident that Christ, who began a good work in us, would bring it to completion. Now, the sooner we commit our plans to him, the sooner we'll find him blessing us with success. And if we haven't yet even accepted God's Son as our Savior and Lord, well, there's no time like the present. Paul would tell the Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Today. No time like the present. So, if you've been doing well with your resolutions, keep them up. Keep them up. If you're waiting for the right time, there's no time, again, like the present. If you started well but got off track, ask God to help you to get back on track and moving again in the way that He would call you to. And no matter what, don't give up. Don't give up. If you feel like you're weary and you feel like giving up, you feel like you can't take another step, call on Him first and foremost, and He'll help you. He'll lift you up. He'll help you get back on your feet and move in the right direction. And call on us to pray with you and for you. And yes, as much as we can, to come alongside you and to support you in your journey. But don't give up. Don't give up. Trust God and entrust yourself to Him. And He promises that you will see success. You will see success. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You for Your word today. And though we've looked at many passages in various places in Your holy word, Father, we thank You for the way that we see this repeated and continuous reassurance for us. That if we'll just commit ourselves to You, commit our lives to You, commit our plans to You, entrust ourselves to You, Father, You will bless us. And we might not always see the successes in the things that we're pursuing that are maybe for personal gain, or maybe our motives aren't exactly what they ought to be. But Father, Your plan and purposes will be fulfilled. They will be. And Father, if we'll just submit and surrender our lives to You, the more we will see that. So I pray again that we can do that, that God, You'd move us to do that. Your Spirit would convict us to do that, and that we might rely upon You. We rely upon You, not just in the first step, but every step of the way. And Father, once more, for those who haven't yet taken even that first step in acknowledging that they're sinners in need of a Savior, we pray, Father, that they might come to that realization, that You might draw them to Yourself. You might, again, through Your Spirit, convict them of the sin that's in their lives and of the righteousness that they can have in Christ. And that when judgment does come, that, Father, they will not have any fear to worry about, because Your plan and purpose for them will be fulfilled in Christ, to bring them to Yourself, not just for a while, but forever. Thank You. Bless us and keep us according to Your will. In Jesus' name, and amen.